And then you're sitting there, and you might just well start chewing on your tickets in some cases when the gate opens, because the horse that you thought was going to go wire to wire, learn early speed, early on your delegate, has nothing to do with the race, because the early horses you've thrown out and didn't put in your computer. So you got to be careful with that. That's why we're going to put Bubba's or Pop's ruling in there, because he influences the race greatly. Now, if you don't want to, now see, you don't have to go that far. You can look at this and say that I got a 101 on Fleeting Man. I got at least a 101 on Emmergan Gap. I got about a 95 on Pop's ruling and probably about that on MacArthur Face. Why bother with anyone? Let's just bet the best horse. But it's not always quite that simple. You don't want to be throwing out some of these horses. Everything we went through said Pop's ruling was a contender, wasn't it? We really did. We said it's a contender, but we don't want to skip over that last race to go back to one that the horse sat on for 40 days after that, or 50 days. So it is a contender. It meets the guidelines, so you're going to kind of have to use it. Analyze the race with it, and then throw it away.
Have a different mix, turf, dirt, distance. Then you can use the automatic.
Yes.
In fact, I do that. If you have a widely different... Now, let's address that. Because I do use energy to some extent with... I prefer phase three, still do, but I use energy to some extent because I kind of, it gives a different look at that. I don't make prime bets off of energy, I'm sorry to say, because I don't have that warm and fuzzy feeling I do when I look and I see that I've got this kind of a number associated with my phase three, a significant edge. But I do like energy, and it provides some nice prices. And I like it especially when you have horses coming from different scenarios. Horse off the hillside, a horse coming from a hillside at Santa Anita, that's downhill turf course. Another horse coming out of a mile and an eighth at Santa Anita. Another horse coming in a mile at Santa Anita. And you begin to mix and match all of these so that you go into a rubber room if you try to do what we're doing here. So you let the computer do it. Let the computer do it, and it works just fine. I don't make any prime bets off of that, but I do bet from that. Okay, I just don't get that warm and fuzzy feeling. But I'm glad you asked that, because it does work fine. And I'm not believe me, I'm not against any of these programs. I've seen this energy program that I guess is kind of taboo. I mean, I'll criticize what I do as well. I mean, so it's not... But I've seen that energy program make players out of guys that I thought had no chance at the racetrack. I mean, if I were to say, you know, this horse is a... God, this is a 102 and everybody, no one else is near par, that person would say, huh? What are you talking about? And go make the right bet because of the program. I've seen some really good plays from people I thought were absolutely... very ill-equipped to succeed at the races, and yet make very sophisticated plays that I thought that I was impressed with. And I had one of them admit to me and said, you know, we talked about the race, and they said, well, I can't come to those conclusions the way you did. I'm just going to follow the program. And that's the right answer. If you're playing it, if you don't want to make these, if you don't get good enough to make these conclusions successfully, often enough, then play the program. That's what got you there. Dance with it. Pop's Rulings race, we adjusted that one. Then we have one more so that you can run these when you get home by whatever program or whatever method you want to run. MacArthur Faces line. This is an interesting line here. Yes?
We assigned part numbers to the others. And this looks like a pretty high part race part.
It is. We're going
to... Pop's Rulings race is a, what have we adjusted to, a 109 and 3? Okay, a 109 and 3 is a 105 race, right? Okay, what's his figure off of that, though? He's a 95. Yeah, but the race he comes out of is very good, but it's only a point better than the $10,000 race that Elusive Road won. So, I mean, that makes it the Elusive Road race even more impressive. Okay, MacArthur Face runs at Santa Anita, track variant of 20. That's 1 point out of the range, right? Which makes that race what? 109 and 4, right? 109 and 4. Now, what's the difference between Hollywood and Santa Anita? 2. Don't take it to Golden Gate. Then we got to work backwards. And... All right. So what's the final in that race? 109 and 2, right? That comes out of a better race even than Pop's Ruling does. And that can be proven by going back to what Lance Manis did next time In a 115 and 3 at $20,000, he lasts until the last few strides. So he moved up off that race. And that's the kind of conclusion you want to make by using these things and by adjusting them. If you look at the Lance Mannish race that he won here, it's a very powerful race, supported by the fact that he jumped two levels and almost won on that jump. Okay. Run this race when you get home. Hood Park, the mile and the 16th, 111 and 3, I said 0.3 up here, it's 111 and 3 fifths, because we're dealing with the same kinds of things we had a few minutes ago. 111 and 3, 144.2 on a variant base of 16 to 18, zero adjustment. At Golden Gate, or Santa Anita, 112, now this does not correspond to the part-time chart you had on the flip side of the Hollywood chart, because the track is slower over there now. 112, 145 and 1, variant 22 to 24. This is the 10K par, yeah, so we can transfer back and forth. This is, in other words, this is the 100 value on the part-time charts. Golden Gate Fields, 110 and 4, 143.3, variant 16 to 18, same as Hollywood Park. The way you adjust the pace lines here is that you adjust the track to track the same as you did before, whatever the difference is. In other words, a horse running at Golden Gate has to be slowed down 8 lengths in the routes. A mile or a mile and 16th, either one. We use the most commonly run distance here, but it's consistent between the two distance structures, 8, 8.5, and 9. It's basically 8 lengths faster at Golden Gate in that variant range. Now, the way you make the adjustments on the daily racing form variant is at the second call to use 50% of the final, the same as you did with the sprints. And at the first fraction, though, you use 2/3 of the second call. It sounds kind of convoluted. It's really not. Well, the second call adjustment. In other words, if let's say now that the track variant required 5 lengths. Okay, 5 lengths, daily racing form variant. Daily racing form variant. How many of that would be applied to the second call? Two and a half, adjusting downward is 2, right? So what's the first fraction adjustment, first call adjustment here? There's no minimum here like there's a 3-length minimum in the other. 66% of the second call adjustment, rounding to the nearest whole number. It's not as difficult, it's not as complex as it sounds. Just do it a couple of times and you got it, that's all. Just make sure you write down the procedure and you got it, you're home. Okay, folks, this is the material that we will use next time we're together. We'll just handicap, and we'll just automatically reference back and forth to all of these things. The one-turn mile is the one that's missing, but this is the material we use, so please keep it, especially since I might throw it away and need it from you. One-turn mile. Here's the 100 on the one-turn mile. Is Hollywood. 45.3, 110.3, 136.3 on a 16 to 18. The first fraction associated with this was what? 46.4. I'm putting that in for a reason. If you're using the one-turn mile and you're putting that horse in against two-turn horses, be sure to pay attention to the adjustment that would be required at the first call, the difference between 45 and 3 and 46 and 4. So if we're using the one-turn mile, you've got, in effect, you have a track-to-track within the same track, right? In effect, you do. Hollywood's got that unique one-turn mile course. So with exclusive of a daily racing form variant, which would be handled exactly the way I just prescribed a few minutes ago, you have a track-to-track to make to take a horse for a one-turn mile, put it in a two-turn race. And that is just basically the differences here, between 45.3 and 46.4. So if you had a horse coming out of a one-turn mile, what would you do to the first fraction of that horse? Add six lengths. So if the horse goes 44.4, which they often will do out there, that becomes a 46 if you're putting it into a route, two-turn. Now, what about the second call? Five lengths. That's just the flat out, it's the difference between 111.3 and 110.3. Five lengths. So in a Hollywood one-turn mile, when you're comparing it to the two-turn races, you add six lengths to the first fraction, five lengths to the second. This is over and above the daily racing form variant. This is just the track-to-track again. Let me stress that. What would you do to the final law? 137.3, I'm sorry, add five lengths to that. So folks, just add five lengths to that. I'm not going to try to prove it to you. Just add five lengths. You'll be fine.
To get the mile.
Yeah. So in other words, if you were to take a one-turn mile and make a track-to-track, add seven lengths to the first fraction, five to the second, five to the final. That'll equate that one-turn mile with a two-turn route at Hollywood Park. Just use five. All right. Six or seven, I thought you were talking about the final. One more, let me back up and put all this in perspective. The one-turn mile, if you want to equate that to a two-turn route, add six lengths to the first fraction, five lengths to the second, five lengths to the final. And that will equate roughly to the two-turn race. Jim?
Understand that, because I've got 136.3 for Hollywood and 137.1 for Santa Anita.
Santa Anita's around two turns.
But Santa Anita's par is slower. That's slower. We're trying to equate it to Hollywood. Your part-time chart shows Santa Anita is a 144, right? No, wait. Forget the mile. What is the mile on the 16th at Santa Anita?
Oh, okay. You're trying to equate it to mile on 16th.
Right.
I thought you were taking a mile to a mile.
No, because I can't do that. Because
if I take it to a mile, I've taken it to a track that's faster on that part-time chart. It's not faster now, but on that chart it is. Just use five lengths to the final. That will put that pretty close. It's a hard one to deal with, but if you add 6, 5, and 5, that's it, 6, 5, 5. If you add 6, 5, and 5 to that one-turn mile, it equates pretty well to a two-turn race. Turf to dirt. Same procedure, but it's up to you to go find those pars. Yes?
Now, when you've got a sprinter that's going in a route, and his percent early is right on the high edge of the route percent early. Do you figure that he can stretch out, or do you think that's cutting it too close?
Well, that's cutting it
too close. The question is, if you have a sprinter sprinting on the low side of the sprint parameters, is really what you wanted if you're going to stretch it out. Will this horse stretch out successfully? Is that basically the question? The answer to that is, if you have two kinds of sprinters that you have to deal with when they're stretching out. You have a sprinter that sprints at or around the sprint par, what it takes to win a sprint. In other words, if the sprint par is around 53% early, and the horse is sprinting around 53% early, generally speaking, that horse has a home. It is a sprinter. On the other hand, you have another sprinter that's sprinting at 52.20, 52.25, on the low side of the sprint parameters, or maybe even underneath. That's an indication that this sprinter hasn't got enough room, wants to stretch out, wants to go on some. And unless the horse is strictly a one-run sprinter that doesn't run at all until the last eighth of a mile and maybe flattens out going longer, generally speaking, the conclusion is that that sprinter will stretch out for you because it's sprinting on the low side of your parameters. That's a fairly safe conclusion. Now, the only real solid conclusion is by having evidence in the horse's line that it can route. But first time around two turns, that's about the only choice you got. And it's better than looking at the breeding on the horse saying the horse is bred to route. Yeah, better to be lower than the sprint part.
Uses an eliminator rather than that he can for sure.
Well, yeah.
It's good to use as an eliminator. It is. But on the other hand, it's also good to make a bet off of that too, if the horse just has good figure. That's where this part-time chart will be very valuable, because you can look at it and say, well, the horse, rather than put a blanket 2.50 adjustment, 2.15 adjustment, whatever you have, check out the horse's figure on this part-time chart before you go to all of those convoluted adjustments. Okay? Take a look at today's racing form. Let's attempt to apply some of the skills that we've developed.
Time you go to San Bernardino in the ninth race?
Well, I don't watch the ninth race. Not with me, you don't.
That one's... I'll tell you, I make so few bets over the turf course, and that's one of them. That's one of the races that you're... that the principles all apply. They really do. But one of the things we're going to stress, concentrate on here are claiming races. And the reason we're going to concentrate on them is, first of all, it's my class. That's what I play. That's what I specialize in. Not only claiming races, but mostly on the dirt. Mostly races that I know I'm going to drive some profits from. That's the reason I play. So my emphasis will be in claiming races. The principles still apply. But it's easier to have... I mean, take, for example, a non-winners of three allowance race, right? On the turf course. Who's a negative dropper? Nobody. That takes part of the advantage away. If you understand the claiming races, if you understand where class drops are important, where they're not important, if you understand that, you have an edge over everybody you're playing against. That edge is taken away when that no longer applies. So now you're into strictly form evaluation, which is part of the claiming races also, but you lose a significant edge. You can't go in and say, here's Florham Jack and this non-winners of three is making a negative drop. I mean, it doesn't work that way. That's why I specialize in claiming races. I like them. That's where most of your profits will come from. And a lot of us are playing racetracks with mostly claiming races. The first race at Hollywood. Now let's take a step that we did not take last time we were together. What is this race level? $32,000, right? What's the par on the part-time chart for that, numerically? The numerical par. No, it's not. No, it's not. You may not be getting any sex, but there is some sex involved here. I mean, let's... First race today. My goodness. What is it? All right. It doesn't at the top, but look at the horses that are involved. Okay.
I did that yesterday.
Okay, you're right. Okay. What is the par in this race? 103. At Hollywood Park, what is a 103? Just write the time in now. At Hollywood Park. About 45-110, right? 44.9110 is what it is. So let's put down 45.110. At Santa Anita, based on the material we developed earlier today, what would be that par? Wonderful. 45.110.2. That's the Santa Anita par. Now, as we look at these horses, let's keep in mind that the winner of a race like this should somewhat approximate these pars. If they can't, it's like the second race yesterday. If you go through a race and you find that nobody's near par, two choices. The one I choose to make is to abandon the race, but you might choose to separate the bad horses. That's your call, but don't be too restrictive of form, because the form horses in that race will generally be upset by layoff horses, class droppers, things like that. And yesterday it was a layoff horse that won that second race. So you have two choices, but if you have a horse that matches par or better, several horses that match par better, that's where your main contenders are. Take a look at Shana Dam now. Based on everything we know, what is Shana Dam a contender at 32? Of course she would be, right? Forget the par for just a moment now. The par has nothing to do with it until we start evaluating these horses. Okay, is she a contender in 32?
Yes.
Well, there was some resistance to that. This is automatic. She's a contender here. What about La Crosse?
Yes.
Oh, yes. La Crosse is a contender. She's dropping in class. Is it a drop you think she should make? Yes.
Change your running style.
Yeah. And that's when we'll address that when we evaluate the pace lines. Cookie Bear. She just keeps getting better, doesn't she? And she's one of those that's managed to win off the rail, and she went from the one and the two. One time she circled the field, but when she went on the two post, she came up along the inside, which is really something. So she's pretty sharp.
Rail, is it slow, or what is it?
The rail is
slow down, especially down the backstretch. It's just slow, and I can't explain it. It's been slow now. This is the third season that the horses on the inside do not keep up with the horses on the outside early on.
Yeah, obviously.
So, apparently, I thought they had.
At the fall meeting, it went away for the most part. It was still existed a little bit, but at the fall meeting, it was mostly gone. And now, for some reason, it's back. Well, what about Old Marie? Okay, she's close up at the stretch call last time at this level on April 29th. There's no reason to throw her out of here, is there? What about Showtime Lady? She's a contender. She meets, doesn't she meet anything? She's 3 1/4 back at the stretch call at this level. And just because we said three, we never said to be so restrictive that a neck makes a lot of difference here. So she fits. What about Lawn Debut? Okay, she couldn't win at this level against three-year-olds. She couldn't win at a lower level against three-year-olds. And the workout line is all right. She was even down at Caliani for a little while. No, we'll throw her out. Popping Champagne. Which way, which direction was she going when she steadied? Yeah, she was searching out the rear of the field when she steadied. Letters of Love. Well, let's look at her for a minute. Anybody that said no, does she meet the contender guidelines that we developed? Was she close up stretch call last time? Okay, but don't put too big an emphasis on this because it's 6 weeks ago. All right. So now let's take a look at this because the last line isn't as important with her as it is some of these other horses. What about her workout line? She's got a 5 furlong work, which says that she's pretty well pieced together. It's not an attractive workout line, though. It's really not. Pardon? Can't hear you. Yeah, it is. But there's only two of them in that 6 week period. So kind of. Okay. But we would accept her. All right. Let's go back to this first race. I mean, to the first page. Pace line on Shane Adam. Last one? Fine. Now because you're going to have a chance to run these when you get home, let's now make the adjustments we would have to make. The race was at Hollywood. What was the range of zero adjustment at Hollywood? 11 to 13, right? What was her race? No adjustment, right? Now take a look at a comparison of the par for this race, which is what? 110, right? 110 is the par for this race. Take a look at the race that she was just beaten in. Well, that's right. 103, right? Now, we don't eliminate her, but what I'm going to tell you is that this is no time to reach deep into the pocket if you wind up with this horse. She's 3 lengths inferior to what it takes to win a race like this. Now, she might be bettable. She might be the winner of the race, but she's nothing to get overly excited about, especially on the rail. Now, let's look at Lacrosse. Now, she comes out of it. No, it's not. Feeling Tipsy improved about 6 lengths out of other race. Feeling Tipsy improved a lot the next time out. Okay, but let's look at Lacrosse for a minute. She's a contender. What line do you want to take? No way. Take a look at her entire chart. Her entire chart now, not just one or two or three races, the entire chart. What is she going to do 90% of the time? And I'll tell you, it goes beyond this part of the chart. It goes long back in her career. What's she going to do? A late running sprinter is what she is. Now, she was pushed to be up close last time. It's a good race. It's a positive thing that they were able to do that. It's positive that she showed that early speed. Everything about it's positive, but it's not the pace line.
Sure. And maybe he's trying to. I'll guarantee you she doesn't run up on the lead.
She was pushed to show early speed last time, and you see that occasionally, especially on a horse that's improving.
I made a very strong statement there.
I guarantee it. I'm not sure I guarantee it. But I'll tell you what, I would take all the side bets I can get that she won't. One of the things, well, I got to tell you, one of the things, when you do this a lot, you do get opinionated on all of this. I mean, that's the only reason you can go to the windows. But
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Well, my feelings are that's a rather fast final time.
Yes.
And for you to go back on her, there isn't anything as fast until you get down to maybe a 110-1 here.
I'd go back. I got to tell you what I would do if I were evaluating this horse. Yeah. I would assume she's improving because of the speed that she showed last time. And I'd go down and choose that race that she was beating 3/4 of a length and 111 on the 17 variant at Santa Anita. That is her typical style. I think she'll probably run pretty well here. I would go back and use that race.
But that might not be as fast as what she just finished doing.
Well, who's dealing with fast? We're dealing with... See, if you use the race that's fast, you put her up there as an early type horse, right? She's not an early type.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm not speaking about the early part of the race. I'm speaking about the final time of the last race, which is approximately 116.3.
Okay, for her.
If you go to your par chart... Oh, that would be Santa. That would be Hollywood. You find that a 116.3 is equivalent to a 110.1.
That's a 102, right?
Tom, those races are identical.
Yeah, I'm sure, but one reflects your style. I think they are identical. That's the reason I'm choosing the race.
So wouldn't you want to find a race that finished after adjustments, finished in 110.1?
Well, let's look at the... No, not necessarily. I've got to tell you.
What you want is you want the way she's going to run here. She's going to run from
the hip. Get a closing race that she runs, but finishes in 110.1.
She didn't run all that well late in this top line. Don't forget she lost 4 1/4 lengths.
I know it.
All right, hold it. This isn't even a discussion item. I don't know why we're hung up. Santa Anita is a slower track than Hollywood by 2.
Yeah. Off the top, it's slower by 2. That makes that race a 110.3, right? Her last race. I mean, that race that I'm looking at is a 110.3. I'm looking at the race on March 17th. March 17th. It's a 110.3 compared to Hollywood. The race that you would be looking at to get a 110.1 is the one on January 5th. That's on a 12 variant, which will require about 3 points of adjustment. My advice to you is do not look at 10 races and key on to what you think is the best race in that 10 if it doesn't reflect the horse's running style. What other thing can you do if you don't choose the last race, which is not representative of her style? She may win here. She's a good contender in this race. But that race is not representative of how she'll run here.
What I'm afraid of is selecting a race farther back whose final time, after all adjustments, is not as fast as the final time in the last race, and consequently not turning out to be rated good in the computer.
It'll be rated good
in the computer. One of the reasons that we're doing this is 1 or 2 lengths of final time doesn't have major effects on these programs. That's the nice thing about doing it. What I want to know is how she performs against the rest of this field. Take a look at you want to use a race that she's 116.3, that she's 116.3 in a race that she was pushed early, which is not her style, right? Now take a look at her other 9 races. Look at all of them. And I defy you to find another race that will match up to that 116.3, which says that you cannot. What happens then is that you're saying on a race that does not reflect her style, that represents 10% of her last 10 races, that that's the race you want to use. I will tell you that I will attack this race by looking at it, choosing one of the 90% probability that represents her style that is more probable of the way she'll perform.
Used for a long time is don't use any unusually high speed rating.
But
it's the last race, you can kind of get away from that. If the last race was representative of her running style, it would be plenty usable. But it's not. These horses tend to regress right back to their style. She'll probably run very well here. But what you're going to do is distort your entire view of this race by choosing that last line.